as we now turn to the preaching, first the reading and then the preaching of God's holy word. We are drawing near to him and we are reading from his word. God has not left us to rummage around and try to figure out what he wants for our lives. He's given us his word. He's given us the Bible. And the Bible is, as it says, sufficient for our salvation, which means this is enough to save us. That as it points us to Jesus, the only Savior, we read this as we read of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would ask you now to turn with me in your Bibles or to look in your bulletins. It's printed on the page there, our scripture reading, which is John 14, 1 through 6, printed for you. John 14, 1 through 6. This is Jesus speaking with his disciples, and it is in an upper room as he anticipates his crucifixion and his death. So let us now turn to the reading of God's word. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving and holy Father, Lord, as we have read from your word, we know that sometimes, oftentimes, Lord, we are quick to miss the point. Often our ears are dull. We don't listen. Oftentimes our hearts don't respond. Lord, we do pray that as we read from your word and as we hear your word preached, that you, Holy Spirit, would work in our hearts, that we would understand, that we would comprehend, but that most importantly, as we look to your word, that we would see Jesus as the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Lord, bless us, bless all those who listen, bless me as I preach, and I pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Well, congregation, visitors, guests, all of you who have joined us this afternoon, I'm sure that all of you know, firsthand experience, that human beings, it's part of our nature, I think, is to ask questions. We are very inquisitive people. We love to ask questions. And one of the questions that many people have asked over the course of human history, and people are still asking today, is the question, why are we here and where are we going? Why are we here and where are we going? And while many great thinkers and great philosophers have wrestled with this question, perhaps you this afternoon have come here and you're wrestling with that question, not necessarily on a grand level, but maybe just personally. Maybe you personally this afternoon are asking, why am I here and where am I going? And if you are asking yourself that question, you are actually in the same boat as these disciples that we read of in John 14 as they gather together with Jesus, as he teaches them. They are asking that same question. Because as they meet with Jesus, they are growing more and more concerned, more and more confused, more and more sorrowful. And the reason why they're growing so sad and they're growing so confused is because Jesus has given them quite the statement that has shocked them, that's rocked them to their core. He has told them that he is going away and that right away he will not be able to take them with him, that he will leave them. Jesus has told his disciples, these people who have followed him for years now, for 3 years, he's saying, I'm going away. And you won't be able to follow me, at least not at first. And we read that because of this shocking news, the disciples are growing confused, troubled, thinking about the future. They're asking themselves that great question, why are we here then? And where are we going? What's going to happen to us? Jesus, you're leaving us. What will happen to us? However, as they are troubled in their heart, as they are growing anxious, as they grow confused, Jesus says to them, in these six verses some wonderful news, great words of comfort. He says to them, and he says to you this afternoon, let not your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house there are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, and where I am, you will be also. Jesus is seeing their concerns and their troubles, and he's saying to them, listen, what I am doing, where I'm going, I'm doing it for you. He's telling them the answer to that question. He's saying that the whole point of life, the reason why we've been put on this earth, is to know God, to have a relationship with God, and to indeed enjoy God. Not just to know Him on a passing level, but to enjoy Him, to know Him, and to enjoy Him. In order that one day we might live with God and enjoy God perfectly forever. Jesus is teaching His disciples that this life is not the end. And we all know that deep down, don't we? That this can't be the end. This can't be it. There must be something after. There must be something more. And Jesus is teaching that. He's saying that there is indeed a greater life to come. And yet the moment we hear that, the moment we hear there is a greater life to come, automatically the natural response is to say, well, how do I get there? How do I get to that greater life to come? How do we know God? How do we enjoy God? How do I get to heaven? Isn't that the great question of humanity? How do I get to heaven? And a matter of fact, it's exactly what Thomas asks. He's basically our spokesperson here. He's saying, Lord, how can we know the way? How can we know the way? And Jesus tells Thomas this wonderful saying in verse 6. And Jesus is not just saying this to Thomas. This isn't special knowledge to Thomas. He's saying it in His word for you this morning, or this afternoon rather. He's saying this to you. He says to you that there is only one way to God, one way to heaven, one way to this greater life. And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so this afternoon, by God's grace, we'll look at this great statement of Jesus, this great teaching of comfort, that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And because He is, friends, this afternoon, you must come to Jesus, and you must believe in Jesus. And so we'll look at this in three portions. We'll look at each of the sayings of Jesus, that He is the only way, that He is the only truth, and that He is the only life. We'll see first, and this really gets to Thomas's question, we'll see that Jesus says, I am the only way. He says to Thomas, I am the way. And I don't know about you, but when it comes to directions, I am very, very bad with them. I'm very poor with directions. I rely very much on my GPS. I'm from Ontario, and so as when I came here, me and my wife use our GPS often, and there was one night that it was dark, and I was driving, and I said, you know what, I've been here long enough. I think I should be able to get home from here. I'll be able to find Black Rock Road. I'll be able to do it. And I turn off my GPS, and I start driving, and I was very late getting home because I had no idea where I was. I got hopelessly lost. And when I get lost, I get panicked. And I think that's natural. We don't know where we are. We're looking for the way. And in me, in my pride, I thought that I could get there myself, that I knew the way. But on my own, I did not know the way. And that's a picture, friends, of what life is like often for us, isn't it? We don't know the way. We think we do. We're very confident that we're going to get there. But we don't know the way. We're lost in the dark. We wander through life aimlessly, not knowing which way to go. And if we don't know which way to go, brothers and sisters, there's no way that on our own we'll be able to reach God. There's no way on our own we'll be able to know God or to enjoy God. It's as if the GPS is off and we have no idea where we are. And that's why Jesus is here, as it were, to give directions, the only directions. He says, I am the way, not you, Thomas, not you, disciples, not you here this afternoon. I am the way. Jesus is the way. He's saying, do you want to know the way to God? Do you want to know that pathway to God? Well, very well, Thomas, I am the way. This afternoon, Jesus is giving you the directions that you need. And those directions, friends, is Jesus himself. He is the directions. He is the way. He's not only the one who shows you the way, who points the way out to you, but he's the one who takes you on the way. He not only points out the path, but he leads you through the path. He is the way. He is the only way to God. And so, friends, this afternoon, it's only through faith in Jesus Christ, it's only through personally embracing Jesus Christ in your heart, it's only by trusting in him that you can find your way to God. It's the only way. Perhaps you this afternoon are in that boat. Perhaps you are lost. Perhaps you're sitting there saying, I don't know what's going on with my life. I don't know where I'm going. I'm lost. Well, my friend, the only answer for you is Jesus. The only answer that will satisfy you is Jesus. Many in our culture today will say, oh, well, all paths lead to God. That is not what the scriptures teach. There's only one path to God. Only Jesus leads you to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so, friends, you must believe upon him. You must believe in him, because he is the only way. But we see also in this text, not only is he the only way, but he adds on to this. He gives further confirmation of his teaching. He says, not only am I the way, but he also says, secondly, that Jesus is the truth. I am the way and I am the truth. Perhaps when you were younger and you were hanging out in your local library, is something that I did when I was younger, you would find in the children's section a type of fiction called Choose Your Own Destiny, where you would look at the story and you would work through the chapters of the book, but at the end of each chapter there was a way to say, listen, if you want to slay the dragon, jump to chapter 6. Or if you want to save the princess, jump to chapter 11. Or if you just want to take the day and rest, go to chapter 4. You could choose your own destiny. You could sort of craft your own story. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with books like that. But it does tell us an awful lot of how we view life, isn't it? How we view our life, that we're in control, that we get to determine what is true, that we get to choose our own destiny. We get to choose our own truth. But that teaching, my friends, does not satisfy. The teaching that you can have your truth and I can have my truth, that does not satisfy the longing of our hearts. And you know why? Because all it leaves you with is you. All it leaves you with is you. And you know more, even more than I do. And I know of my own heart. That if all we're left with is ourselves, there is no comfort. It doesn't take us anywhere, does it? It just leaves us where we are. And in fact, when Jesus says to you this afternoon, I am the truth, he's actually saying, don't look to yourself. Look away from yourself. Look beyond yourself. And look towards me. That's what he's saying. Look towards me. Look to Jesus. Because when he says, I am the truth, what he's saying is, Thomas, I am perfectly reliable. I am perfectly dependable. In other words, Jesus is exactly who he says he is. He's not lying to you. He is the truth. In fact, if we go back in the book of John, to the first chapter of John, the Apostle John says that Jesus is full of grace and truth. And as we read on to John 6, We read that as Jesus is teaching this, that he is the only way to God, that he is the only Savior from sin, that only he can wash us with his blood, only he can wash away our sin. And we read that many turn away from Jesus. They don't want to hear that. They're turning away from him. They start to abandon him. And in John chapter 6, he looks to his disciples and says, Will you too run away from me? And one of the disciples named Peter, he says to Jesus, Lord, where else can we go? Where else can we go? And friends, this afternoon, that is exactly the same for you. There is nowhere else for you to go because he is the truth. Jesus is the truth. He is the only truth. And he means what he says. He is exactly who he says he is. And that's even, he proves this further when he says, in my Father's house is many mansions, many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. He's saying, this is all true. I am going to my Father. I am preparing a place for you. I will come back and gather all those who believe in me to myself. And he's telling the truth. He does not lie. In fact, Jesus says to know the truth is to be free. The truth will set you free. In other words, my friends, you can rest. You can take confidence in the fact that Jesus is not deceiving you. We live in an age where we never know what's true and what's not true. We're always second guessing, aren't we? People lie to us. Politicians lie to us. Our families lie to us. The internet lies to us. We are desperate, aren't we, for some truth. And Jesus is here to say, I am the truth. I'm not lying to you. And brothers and sisters and friends and family, you must believe this. You must believe that Jesus is the truth of God. And we see that he is the way, he is the truth. But perhaps most importantly, perhaps what he's trying to focus his disciples on here is that last statement. Thirdly, we read that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the life. Now, what does Jesus mean by this? What does he mean when he says, I am the life? Well, what Jesus is not talking, or he's not just talking about this. Jesus is not saying that I possess the secret ingredient to unlimited years of life. He's not talking about an unending span of life. He's not just talking about living forever. He is talking about that. But there's something more to that. He's not just talking about how long we live. No, friends, he's talking about the quality of life too, what life is like. He's not, in this way, he's not just talking about surviving. He's talking about living. The fullness of life, the joy of life, the meaning of life. Think about it this way. A convict who's committed a heinous crime and must serve a life sentence. Let's say he lives to 200 years. If he lives 200 years in prison, yes, he's lived for ages. But that's no living, is it? That's not true fullness of life. That's not true meaning to life. No, what Jesus is saying is, I am all that life was meant to be, all that life was created to be. Jesus is talking about living life in the way that we were meant to live it and to enjoy that life forever. And friends, as we look around, Martin alluded to this, as we look around us, that is just very clearly not the case with this life, is it? We turn on the news. We look around us at the world in which we live, or maybe, not maybe, definitely, most importantly, we look inside ourselves and realize that we are not who we should be, that we are sinners, that we have offended God. We realize that not only does the world around us, not only is it filled with sin and misery and death, but we are filled with sin and misery and death. And what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, I am the giver of life. I am the light of life. He says that he came into this world that you might have life and life abundantly. He has come to deliver you, to save you from your sins, and to save you from the consequences of sin, which is death. And you might ask, how? How does Jesus offer this life? How is he the life? And as you keep reading, not John 15, not John 16, but as you get into John 18 and 19, you will get to see the fact that Jesus gives eternal life by dying on the cross. He gives eternal life by taking your sin and your misery upon himself, by taking your punishment, the punishment that you deserved, and he takes it upon himself. He pays your debt. It's like that friend who pays for that speeding ticket that you could never hope to pay. Jesus takes your sin and takes the death that your sin brings, and he takes it upon himself at the cross so that he might offer you eternal life, true life, fullness of life, that you might know God, my friends, that you might enjoy him forever. This is what Jesus says. This is what he means when he says, I am the life. It means that he takes your sin away. He takes your misery away. He takes the sting of death away. And he takes it on himself. And in return, he gives you fullness of life. He takes the sin. He gives you life. That is what Jesus has done on the cross. We have on this pulpit two little mini crosses. And you maybe if you're not familiar with Christianity, why is there crosses everywhere? Why does the Red Cross Society, for instance, why does that have a cross? Because the cross for us as Christians is symbolic. It's a picture. It's a reminder to us that Jesus has taken away our sin, that he has died for us, that though we deserve, all of us, every single one of us deserve the infinite wrath of God, that Jesus took that punishment from us, and that he gives us eternal life. This is what he means. I am the life. He proves this on the cross. And my friends, perhaps this afternoon, as you think about your life, as you think back on the past, as you look forward to the future, perhaps you're saying to yourself, well, this sounds great, this sounds wonderful, what a great story, but you don't understand. God can't forgive me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. There's no way that I'm getting to heaven. It's great to read about this place, the Father's house with many mansions. I'm not getting there. Well, my friends, if that is you this afternoon, this text tells you there is forgiveness. There is cleansing. There is a way. And his name is Jesus. Jesus, who tells you this afternoon that he is the way, the truth, and the life. This text is speaking to you, my friends. You must believe on Jesus. You must have faith in Jesus. You must personally believe in him for your salvation. You must repent of your sins. You must cast your sin at the feet of the cross. And you must trust in him alone for your salvation. And you know what Jesus says? When someone does come to him, repentant, saying, Lord, forgive me. Save me from my sin. Do you know what Jesus says? He gives us his answer. He says in John 6:37, the one who comes to me, I shall by no means cast out, for it is the will of him who sent me that everyone who sees me and believes in me may have everlasting life. Friends, this is a promise. If you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Not might be saved, will be saved. It's a promise. He will not turn you away. And so as you think about that opening question, who or why am I here and where am I going? Ultimately, my friends, there's only two answers. The first answer is that you are on the path of life, or the second answer, you're on the path of death. Either you believe upon Jesus and go to be with him in glory, you're on the road to heaven because you believe in Jesus, or you are on the path to death. And that path of death leaves you to the fires of hell, to the fires of suffering and misery. And as we see this, the smoke coming, and we think about the fires, and as we rejoice that, you know, even before the service, we got alerts on our phone saying, evacuate, evacuate. There will be no phone call for hell. There will be no alert on your phone saying, evacuate or else hell's going to get you. No, if you are not in Jesus, if you do not believe on his name, you will experience the fires of hell. There's only two paths. There's no neutral spot. There's not like a hitchhiking road that you can get. No, one path or the other. And this text, my friends, is here to tell you that you do not have to face that. You do not have to suffer hell. You don't have to die in your sin and misery. There is a way of salvation. Jesus freely offers it to you. That if you believe on his name, you will be saved. But it is only through him. It is only through him. And so this afternoon, my friends, he says to you, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so I ask you, do you know Jesus? Have you embraced Jesus by faith? Do you believe that he alone is your salvation? Because if you don't, run to him. The Bible says today is the day of your salvation. Right now, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Don't wait. We do not know what tomorrow will bring. Today is the day of your salvation. Believe today. Believe now. And as you believe on Jesus, as you love him as your Savior and as your God, he will one day, he promises, to come and take you to be with him in paradise. That you will live life to its fullest in glory, where you will know God, and where you will enjoy God forever. I pray that all of us would run to the cross and embrace Jesus Christ by faith. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you that it offers to us, it shows us Jesus. We thank you that as we see this text and as we rejoice in this text and as we look to Jesus, who is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, Lord, I pray that if there be any here this afternoon who do not know you, if there are any here who do not know you, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would work in their hearts, that they would embrace Jesus Christ, that they would be saved from their sin. Lord, as we think about this wonderful message, we do pray for our community, Lord. We do pray. We see so many people who are on that path of death. Lord, we pray that we would be quick to tell them of Jesus, quick to tell them of the path of life. Lord, we think of our community. Lord, we thank you for those who you've given to us to rule over this community. We think of our mayor, Dave Corkum. We think of our premier, Tim Houston. We think of our prime minister, Mark Carney. Lord, we pray that you would give them wisdom beyond themselves. Lord, that you would give them wisdom that comes from above. We pray that you would grant all of those who govern us in any capacity of government with the wisdom that they need. Lord, we think of all the other churches in our community. We thank you for some of them who are represented here in our midst. Lord, we thank you that the gospel is not only going out in this church, but Lord, there are other churches in this city, in this county that bring forth the name of Jesus as the only name to be saved, the only name in which we may be saved. I thank you for them. I pray you'd continue to bless all those who preach the word, those who attend and hear the word. Lord, we also pray for our own congregation. We think of the construction that is going on now. Lord, we thank you for providing us with the means that we can do this. We pray you'd bless those who work on it, bless them with safety, that you'd bless this construction project, that we might have a new church to worship in that can better facilitate our growth. Lord, we pray for those in our congregation who are mourning the loss of loved ones. Pray for those who are struggling with life in this fallen world. I pray you'd bless them. And Lord, we do pray for rain. Lord, we are in a serious drought, and Lord, we do pray that you would pour out from the heavens rain to water the earth. We pray that you would keep people safe from the forest fires, that those would be handled if it be your will, that you would put them out. Lord, you are the God of creation. You control all things. We pray that you would bring rain for the ground, bring rain to put out the fires. And Lord, we pray that even as this province looks to the uncertainty of these fires, that they would be driven to Christ, that they would see him as the only way of salvation, the only stability. And I pray that you would work that in their hearts. Lord, we thank you for worship. We thank you that you have given us this time, that we can bring our praises to you, that we can pray to you, that we can hear from your word. And Lord, I do pray that you would strengthen us. Help us to be more and more obedient. Help us to love you more. Help us to love you and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We pray this in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.